So my dad had had this disease when he was younger, and it had destroyed all the hair follicles, including whiskers. And so I had never had when my dad, you know, hugged me goodnight, I never had felt whiskers like that before. Yeah. And I thought, oh, this is a real man.
Now, this wasn't a beard. Was this just like a 5 o'clock shadow?
Yeah, 5 o'clock shadow, but your grandpa always had, it always grew fast, and he always had a heavy beard. If he didn't shave, you knew it. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's peeking out the windows. And we were in the car right in front of the house, but they could see in the car. So then I came in, and they all ran up to me and said, "How was it?"
Oh my.
And I said, "Oh, it was a 3-in-1 kiss. It was so wonderful." I don't know what I meant by that.
Oh my goodness.
So I never quite got over that. So we wrote a short while. I would have continued. But the letters stopped from your grandpa, and meanwhile he went out to he came back to Oklahoma because for his college help he got, and also because his uncle, he had received a parcel of land from when his dad died. That had been passed down in the family from the days of the Oklahoma run.
Part of the homestead.
Mm-hmm. And there was a piece of land there that had been passed on to your grandpa. And so, in order to pay for the work that was done on that, and his uncle planting it for him, he had to come back and work the harvest on a harvest crew for summers. And that was the swap, that he would work summers back here. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see him. And so a summer passed by, and so then I go to this youth conference in Vallejo, California, with a bunch of kids from our church. Several carloads went up. And several girls had been sweet on your grandpa that I knew. One from his near to where he lived than I was. And she also played piano, so I knew her quite well from the youth conferences, and our families knew each other. And we were in the ladies' room, and she said, washing and putting on lipstick and stuff, and she says, "Did you know that Lee Holder is here? And do you know he's engaged?" I said, "Let's go meet her." Oh, again, "Let's go say congratulations. I'd like to see what she looks like." And so we did, and we told him congratulations. And I had on a bright red suit. And so I met the first girl he was engaged to. And I guess, so then on the way home, I decided, well, he's gone, I better look elsewhere. On the way home, there was this other bunch of church boys from another church knew where we had come from. We all started hollering back and forth out the window. And they were from that particular area. And they thought that was, they liked the looks of all the girls in that car. Of course, we had chaperones with us. We were driven by chaperones. We weren't driving ourselves.
Yeah.
And so they said, "Well, we're having a camp meeting down at our place. Now, come on down, we'll go to camp meeting with you." So they actually drove all the way down the next week. And we went to the camp meeting. That was the last we saw them. They went back. And since your grandpa was obviously taken, I thought, well, I'm of age now, I can date.
Hmm.
And so I went out with several boys from my church, and one I went steady with for a while, but my mother convinced me that was not the way to go steady, because you're limiting yourself. Hmm. And she didn't want me to doing all that necking on the front porch with somebody that I'd been around too much. Not too much. She would blink the lights at me.
Oh my.
Mother said, thought 10 or 15 minutes was plenty.
Oh my goodness. My goodness.
She wanted her girls not to get in trouble. And so she convinced me that that was right. And meanwhile, Korean War had been going on. And in order to avoid the draft, because fighting in Korea was brutal, many of the boys who were getting killed.
Yeah.
They had to go into something or they'd be drafted. So they were all jumping the gun and getting in the Navy. So a number of boys from our church did join the Navy. And meanwhile, these were boys that were several years older than we were, probably 2 or 3 years older. And meanwhile, the girls from our church were, a lot of them were marrying straight out of high school, or a year after high school. And so the girls that these boys going into the service knew weren't available anymore. So they started looking at the younger crop that I was in. So I started dating a nice boy from our church that had been brought in by our youth leaders. I don't know what happened to his parents. He was living with a sister. And he was sort of a leader among them. He had strong ideas. And he had been brought into the church by the fact that we had a nice, he wanted to play ball. That's how I found the Lord. They had a team. You were required to come to church and to youth fellowship to join the team. And he actually found the Lord. And so when he would come up from San Diego on his leaves, whenever he got a leave, he would bring a number of whatever would fit in the car with him, of boys, bring them all to church.
Yeah.
And one of the boys actually went on to seminary and became a preacher and married one of the girls from our church. And this boy that I started dating was about 3 years older than I was, 2 or 3 years older, and had been in the Navy a couple of years by this time. And he'd actually dated my older sister and all her friends.
Oh, okay, girl, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he looked around and said, well, now who's left? they're all married now. And so he asked me out, and he was very tall and good looking. So I went out with him for quite a while, 6 months or so, and he wanted a commitment out of me. And I said, I don't think so. I don't want to go steady. But he said, well, I'm going to ship over again. Can we just go steady for 3 months? I said, okay. So then he went overseas again, and he wrote incessantly, and I wrote him back. And he was professing all kinds of amorous thoughts. And I didn't discourage him, but I knew I wasn't about to be getting married right away. So I went on to school. And took the train up there. And then this Tanta Muller that I spoke about had her grandson take me around town. And then he went off to Stanford. And his folks liked me very much. But he was elsewhere. So between him and my boyfriend who was overseas, and all his friends who would come through, be sent back and forth from different places, he'd say, "Now I want you to look up my friend, Charlotte." I had lots of friends looking me up for just a night in town. He said, "She's a nice girl, and you treat her right, and you'll just have a nice evening. I'll tell her you're coming." You know, he let me know he's putting some friends my way. And then the preacher had also friends coming through. He was an older, not too old a preacher, but he had gone to school as an older seminary, as an older student than most. And he knew boys coming back from Korea who were really emotionally drained. Korea was a horrible, horrible experience. And this one particular one asked me, "Please, he's so soured, he hasn't seen anything but the kind of girls that a mother would want her son dating in the places he's been. Would you mind?" He was a real decent guy. I knew him in college. "Would you go out with him?" So I went out with him a couple of times, and it just seemed like people have brothers and cousins, and I went on a whirl. I did not have any trouble. Anytime I had free, I had somebody date. And then another young, he wasn't so young, he was quite a bit older, about 10 years older. I'd worked for his mother on summer jobs. She had a home where she kept a few people. And I would go and clean and cook for her for the summer, something like that. And her son was an older man, and he, of 25, but at the time I was only 18.
Yeah.
Then he just treated me like sort of a younger sister while he was there, between being reactivated. They called him back into the service. He had already served. And they called him back in, and he was a naval officer. So when I went on up to school, he said, "You can look me up when you come." And he'd always been quite good, nice to me, and decent, and he wasn't trying to take advantage of a young girl. So he was on what you call a sub chaser, and it was in port. And so he says, "You know, when you get up to school, let me know. I'll bring you out to my little place and you can see it." So I invited a girl across the hall, and we went out there and saw it. And so then I dated him a few times. Anytime I had free, if you want to call it dating heaven, I had it. I had it. Wow. All kinds and types of young men. And then also, I knew your dad was there. And what happened was, we had stopped contact because I knew he'd gotten engaged. Mm-hmm. And so I hadn't heard anything from him in a year and a half or more, through anybody. I just dropped it. He's engaged. Leave him alone. And so I thought, well, I've got to find myself a church. And so there was two and a half blocks from my dorm. I went there, opened the door, and there is your grandpa. There he was. That's the church he went to, because he had another aunt and uncle who lived there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
and they conferred with his grandma and Aunt Pearl, who had raised him, down south. This is 500 miles from each other. And if your grandpa wasn't in church, they heard about it immediately. So he always came across from Berkeley to San Francisco. He was always there on Sunday unless something big had happened. He was on vacation with his folks down south. And the aunt who lived in San Francisco, her mission, I've told you this before, was to have anybody that was new or young people or somebody didn't have a place to have Sunday dinner, like students, like I was. And so anytime I was free from school, in those days they had nursing students working as well as going to school. And sometimes I wasn't free and sometimes I wasn't in church. Yeah. They would take me to their house or have somebody else take me who was also going. And we'd all be around the table. And of course your grandpa had to be there every Sunday that he was in town. Mm-hmm. It was expected. Well, it was a dating field. I mean, not a dating field, a look-see field. Her table wasn't that big.
Yeah.
But there would be at least four young people there, maybe five, mm-hmm. each Sunday.
Yeah.
And you just spent the afternoon together, and then you all went back to church that night, and then I walked home from church. From there, it was close enough I could do it.
Yeah.
Or somebody would walk me home, because if we saw any... that part of the street wasn't lighted as well as other parts. So I saw your grandpa a lot, and we dated a couple of times, but this boyfriend that I had gone overseas, that hadn't come back yet, even though I was seeing other people, I wasn't doing any necking and kissing and none of that stuff. I wouldn't. Yeah. It was... Thank you, I had a very nice time. Because mm-hmm. I thought I should be... I don't know what I thought. I should be true to this guy. I was dating everybody else, but I thought I should be true. So your grandpa then came back at school. My school started a month sooner than his. And I told him, he said, let me know when you come up. I'll see. By this time I had found out he had broken his first engagement. And so, or she had, I don't know the story. And so I called him up, and he took me out a time or two, and I had a wonderful time, but I wouldn't let him kiss me goodnight. Hmm. I said, can't we have a platonic relationship? Because I'm going with this boy who's overseas, and I feel like I can't really kiss you goodnight. He didn't quite understand this explanation. But just by strange ways, that's what I felt. And so after a few dates like that, without even a goodnight kiss, just holding hands and having an enjoyable evening, he decided to go on to greener pastures. And so then... This young man does come back, but of course he doesn't live in San Francisco. He looks me up and he says, I'm going back to college now. And after next term, which would have been the winter term. So I went down for Christmas and on the train. And see what happened. Oh, I know. And so this boy is getting ready to go off to college in Indiana, our church denomination's main college back there.
Okay.
And so he says, I want us to get married and let's go together. And I said, no. You know, there's a calling on my life that I got when I was 14. And I am going to be a missionary of some sort. And I think that I can do it best as a nurse. That's the way I see it now. And I am not ready to get married, and I can't think of what I would do back there to get ready other than what I'm doing now. And he says, I'd like to write to you. You know, I do have feelings for you. I thought I loved him. But I says, I'm not ready to get married. He was ready. And so I said, but I'd like to write and, you know, and keep something going. And you can date and I can date, you know, not feel like tied down, but have an understanding, basically. He says, no, I want to marry you and I want to marry you now. If not, I'm not sure that will work. So I wrote him a time or two and he cut it off. And he got married then, I think, within the next 8 months or so. That next summer he got married. He was ready to be married.
Yeah.
And he didn't have parents. I don't know. I never did hear the explanation. He was living with a sister. Mm-hmm. So he was probably needy.
Yeah.
So that cooled off. And so then I got back to school, and classes hadn't started, but we were expected to work some. So I had afternoon shifts, or morning to afternoon, and a doctor said, he was a resident. He says, I have to be on duty tonight. I have tickets to the symphony. Can you use them? I said, I would love it. So he gave me the tickets, and I thought, well, maybe Lee's back from his Christmas vacation. I'll give him a call. So I called him up and said, I've got symphony tickets. Would you like to go? He said, sure. He came across. And then after the thing was over, I explained to him that I had parted ways with this fellow, and so my commitment to him of any sort was over, and that I was free to date if he cared to. Yet, we still saw it. You know, we've been seeing each other at church, but we've both been away from each other for about 3 or 4 weeks. And he looked at me with this quizzical look. I'll never forget it. What I didn't know was he had just become engaged again. And he had just barely gotten back from the engagement party.
Oh my.
The girl lived in Sacramento. And he looked at me and he later told me, he says, why do I find these things out now? Why? So I knew why. And he looked at me so funny. And so, let's see, what time of the year was this? So then we dated some the rest of the term off and off. But I didn't know that he hadn't broken everything off yet. Uh-huh. I didn't know he was engaged. But he was seeing me anyhow. When he could. Of course, I saw him every Sunday. That was free at his aunt's house.
Yeah. Oh
my. All afternoon. Mm-hmm. In a real nice, casual way with other people there. And we didn't have dishwashers in those days. All the young people would, you know, they'd fix the dinner and we'd help, but we were all expected to do the dishes.
Awesome.
And so they snapped the dish towels at the girls and, you know.
I had a time of it.
Yeah, we had a good time. So I was singing even though we weren't dating.
Huh.
In a healthy way.
Yeah.
So when I tell him that all this is off now, and he looks at me like, oh, I can't believe this timing. So we go out as much as he can, because it's his final semester, and he needs to buckle down, make sure he graduates.
Right.
And of course, he's clear across the bay. Mm-hmm. He can't just drop the, you know, anytime we wanted to have an ice cream sundae. And all the time I'm not knowing that the reason why his aunt and uncle are so good to me is that his grandmother and aunt down south, now you keep track of Sharla. We want her in the family.
Oh my, it's a conspiracy.
Oh, there was. Now my mother wasn't so sure about Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
She just wasn't quite as sure as my aunt was. So anyhow, that went on and dragged into summer, and I'm dating other boys as well. Different ones, as I said before, would have their brothers and all this coming home from the service or in between, and they just needed a second person for a six-some or a foursome or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go out to, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And just have fun, nothing serious. And so then about this time I come home and I tell your dad after this vacation that I'm free now, and he's engaged, so he's figuring out what do I do. And so finally he does graduate and he's getting ready. The Army is going to take him in because he's been in ROTC. It's time to activate him.
Right.
He's going away, and so he sort of wants a commitment from me. And so then he tells me, but I'm engaged. I find out he's engaged.
Huh.
I said, you're engaged and you are dating me?
Hmm.
I don't trust you as far as I could throw you. And so he went up to Sacramento, broke his engagement, and sent me a telegram. Says the, I've forgotten exactly, I kept a telegram, I think. Engagement's broken, no broken bones. Hope to see you when I get back to town.
Oh my. She's telling on you, Dad.
Yeah.
She's up to
the... I'll go back in the other room, Dad.
She's up to the last minute breaking of engagement.
With Lois?
Who, yeah. Me?
Mm-hmm. So
you can come on in. You can come on in.
So we go... so then just before he is going to take off for Fort Lee, Virginia... He's going to drive back his car. I think you were going with another fellow. He comes to see me, and we go. Could you stop that, honey, so it won't keep buzzing? It's probably dry. Just open the door and shut it. We go to see, oh, what's that opera? Madame Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story?
No, not really.
Okay, the story briefly is, it's the story takes place about 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were actually sailing ships still, maybe 150 years ago.
Yeah.
And this British sailor, I think, he was British, is in Japan, and he dates this beautiful Japanese girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes through a Japanese marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves him very much. and he's having a fling. But he marries her and loves her for the present. And she gets with child, and then his ship takes off. And then about a year later, or not a year later, yeah, about that, she sees his ship come sailing back. And there's some famous songs from Madame Butterfly. I see a ship in the harbor. My heart's going to break, but I'm not going down to meet him because my heart may not make it. I'm so excited and all that sort of stuff. And so it's a very beautiful song. So he comes up. Only trouble is, honey, that makes a lot of racket. He has a wife.
Oh my.
And she's had a child, and she considers, the Japanese girl considers her married. Mm-hmm. And before he gets there, she commits harakiri. She stabs herself and dies. And so,
But I was never in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So we see this. And then we come back to my dorm. You know, he's going to tell him goodnight. And this is when I find out he's been engaged. And hasn't broken it off. And that's after it's this. He goes up and sees her and breaks the engagement, tells me no broken bones, I'll see you. And that's when I tell him, I think I can trust you as far as I can throw you. He says, well, will you write to me while I'm away at camp? And I says, I might. You write and we'll see what happens. So at first I let him write me 3 letters for every one I'd write him back.
Oh my.
And I would sign them sincerely. At first. I wanted to see if he was for real. I thought if he can put up with this kind of
thing. And then she found out I wasn't for real, so.
And so then after a while, I started writing him a letter for every 2, and then finally I wrote him letter for letter. And at the end, we just talked about, we just have to see how this works out. Time will tell. And I thought if he persisted with the kinds of letters I was writing, I said, I have feelings for you, but I just don't know. I don't feel real sure about this.
Yeah.
So he comes back, and we get engaged. And we did it in a place we went back to see the last time we were there, and hit the aunt who lived up in San Francisco's living room. They had built a nice fire for us in the fireplace and gone nicely to bed.
Oh my.
And made sure their door was closed so we would have free use of that living room, and they were hoping for something.
Set the stage there, didn't they?
Oh, they did. And I guess somebody up there wanted us to get together. So he got down on one knee in front of that sofa where we were sitting and asked me, he said, will you marry me and when? Do you remember that?
Not really.
Shame on you. You really don't remember it?
I don't remember getting down on one knee, but...
Maybe it was both knees. He got on his knees. Yeah, he did. Because it had to be
proper
and serious. He knew it. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I'd love to marry you. And I will marry you when I get finished with nursing school after you get back from overseas. Mm-hmm. So we... we didn't have any classes at that particular time. We were between semesters. Mm-hmm. But we were working full time then. So I worked straight through 10 days so I could have 3 days to go down and drive down with him and then get myself back to school after he got on the plane to go overseas. And on the way he says, let's get married now. I says, but I have to finish school. But you can keep it a secret. I said, no, I'm not going to keep it a secret. So that's when he says, well, what if we can find a school? I said, they didn't have reciprocity much in those days. Mm-hmm. He says, if we can find a school that will take your hours and they're on the same schedule that yours is, so you wouldn't have to double back and, you know, take extra schooling.
Yeah.
Will you marry me now? So we looked in Los Angeles and found another school. I was in an Episcopal school called Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And the nursing school director says, your director is not going to like me, but I think this is a grand opportunity for you, and I will accept you when you come back. And Lee thought, well, I can go to school in Los Angeles as well as I can go up there and get my master's or go into medicine, whatever. He wasn't exactly on what knew what he was going to do afterward, but it was going to be something of the sort. Mm-hmm. So with that, that was on a Monday. We got married the following Monday. And my mother almost went wild trying to put together a church wedding in 1 week.
Wow. The dad said he offered to just get hitched in Reno.
Oh, he said, well, let's just go to Reno and keep it a secret.
Oh, that was the secret, okay.
I said,
you
got
nothing of it?
No, my school, you were expelled if you got married.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's right, you couldn't know.
You
right.
could not marry. And so we did that, and I knew my school wouldn't accept me again. So I just decided to do it that way. And so we got married and had 4-day honeymoon, and we went out to an Army airfield or Air Force airfield near where his aunt was in San Bernardino next to Colton. And I saw him off late. We had to wait all day for a Space A flight.
Yeah.
And saw him off on the plane, and then I had to find my way back to Pomona.
Oh, my. Adventure City.
So when was it?
Driving my mother's car.
Oh, my.
And meanwhile, I had locked the keys in the car.
Oh, my.
And they tried to jimmy open the window. Put a nice crack down the side.
Oh my.
My mother never said anything, didn't make me pay for it or anything. But I got myself home, and then I waited there until the Army sent for me. So that's the story. And then they put me on a train, and I went to Chicago first.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved trains, but it was very adventurous for me. And I thought, what am I going to do in Chicago? Because there were 6 hours between, and one train station was across town from the other station that I had to transfer to.
Yeah.
So just across in the roommate from me was a girl, older person of 25. By this time, I'm 21. Who was from Chicago. She took me in hand, and she knew how to get to the other train station. But meanwhile, she knew Chicago like the back of her hand. She took me to this large department store. She knew where they had free cooking demonstrations and we could eat. She knew where there was going to be a fashion show. She entertained me all afternoon, and then we took a bus tour around Chicago.
Quite a layover.
And I had a ready-made tour, and we did all that for, 25 cents?
Oh, my.
On the bus, because the food had been free.
Right.
All I had to do was pay for bus thing around the town.
My goodness.
And she was getting on the same train I was.
Oh, so she got there on time and all.
And she was going to the same place I was.
Okay.
Except she was going to be a social director. What do they call those gals that in the recreation departments? Anyway, they had people that specialized in this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what she was going to be.
Sounds like she was already practicing.
And so, and then we got back there, and then the Army met us with a old Army bus and took us out to Fort Hamilton. And we stayed in barracks out there until for, I've forgotten, better part of a week, until your name went up on a board and they assigned you to a ship.
So you just waited to ship out.
Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, I was with four other girls, two or three other girls in the same room. And they had all just been married like me, except one who had been married a whole year.
Oh my.
And she could tell us what it was like, because we were all brides. And one of them knew how to catch the subway into New York.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went into New York and saw Gone with the Wind.
Oh my.
And shopped on the streets. We didn't want to spend all our money.
Right.
So we saw all these vendors are selling earrings for a dollar and all this stuff. Bought a pair of earrings for a dollar.
Hmm.
Went to the movies. We had dinner at this little coffee shop and got back on the train.
I was making all of $222.30 a month.
Oh my.
That was before any taxes or anything was taken out.
Oh my.
So then, within the week, they signed me to a ship, a transport ship, and they had a lot of servicemen going on. They put in this one area that wasn't so nice, except for the officers who got to have decent quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sailed to England and stayed just one afternoon, then on to Bremerhaven. And I got on the train. Well, in England, we had this one afternoon, so I thought, what can I do in one afternoon? And this other gal said, we said, have some English tea.
Huh.
So we went in this place, said, we'd like some tea. And they brought it. And it looked cloudy. I said, I think I ordered tea. And she says, that is tea. They'd put milk in it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that they would do that. So we drank it. If this was English, we would have it. But that's all the time we had.
Yeah.
And then we went back and got on the ship. And it went across. How far is that to Bremerhaven? Not far. That was afternoon by late evening. We were there, and they put me on a train, and everything was kind of in the dark, so they knew where I was supposed to be, so they sent me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a roomette I was assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big, husky German lady there, and there were a lower bunk and the high bunk. She pointed to me and said,
"Hi, Mom.
You're up there. I'm down here."
Makes
sense. So we spent the night, and I had breakfast the next morning, and she left before I did, and I had a little compartment to myself. And then I get off, and I think, will I recognize him?
And I was wondering, will I recognize her?
So I thought, I better wear my going away outfit so he will have seen it before.
Right.
So he know what he's looking for. Because they were letting people off all the way by the time we got to Frankfurt. Is that where you met me, Frankfurt? There weren't too many of us left on that train. that were military. So there wasn't a bus meeting us or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We were kind of on our own. So if he hadn't met me, I'm not sure what I would have done. Cried, probably, but I didn't have to. So he was there, and he was wondering. And so we'd only been together 4 days. So we went back to the hotel room where he had been staying, and I had dressed in my going away suit, so I was all dressed up. Mm-hmm. And put on something more casual. And he had to stay in uniform. I think you had to wear uniforms in those days in public, didn't you? I don't think they were allowed to, during the occupation days, to go around in civilian clothes, maybe on base, but not off base.
Yeah.
So he took me up to this, I can't remember the set name of the town, on a lovely hill, and they gave us the bridal suite. Had a wonderful view. I've never seen such a room before or since. Wow. It was lovely. We won't tell him about the bathtub, will we?
Great big bathtub. In the living room, I think.
Bathtub for two. So we, our first honeymoon had been very, very short.
This was like a second one then.
So this was real, like a real honeymoon. It was beautiful, and he was there, and I was madly in love with him.
The second honeymoon's lasted 62 years, so
that's a pretty good record there.
And then we planned to, had made little plans here and there. We were going to wait a while so we could get through medical school to have children and all this stuff. Because we had a child within the year. That was Lee Kirk.
He asked me why we had five children.